Well, there you are. A little something from Roosevelt Sykes, from a disc called The Return of Roosevelt Sykes. That was Runnin' the Boogie. Plus, we heard from Blind Boy Fuller from a collection called Blind Boy Fuller Volume 2. Features not only him, but a bunch of others of his contemporaries. But that from the original artist themselves, I Don't Care How Long, from Blind Boy Fuller. Time for a little bit more music here in this hour of the Deep Blues Hour. We're going to hear next from Lowell Fulson. Here he is with How Do You Want Your Man? Lowell Fulson on WRCT Pittsburgh.
It's a sad, sad sound when your baby slammed the door. It's a sad, sad sound when your baby slammed the door. And you get that funny feeling that she won't be back no more. It's a sad, sad sound when you call on the telephone. She tell you to your face, she said, don't worry about me, I can make it on my own. It's a sad, sad sound. We'll be right back.
to me, because the music was all I needed. And the more I played, the more they got into me.
Guningenge boni Gula makumba manomsa Guningenge kondile I've been around Now it's my time to shine My time to rise and shine Our star is what I've become So tata ngongongo wam ngiso pumelela
chill, drop or do my thing, motherfucker. Cute face, chubby waist, thick legs in shape. I'm shaking both ways, make you do a double take. Planet rocker, showstopper, flow proper, head knocker, beat scholar. Chill, drop or do my thing, motherfucker.
wonderful to be back to you. Listening to Jason Chantrell. Welcome with us. We'll be right back.
Easy. Tuned in to Pandemonium, a public affairs anthology from WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed on this show are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT or Carnegie Mellon University. Email comments or questions to WRCT Public Affairs, pa@wrct.org. And now, Pandemonium.
We are sitting on Melinda Crawford Perdue's back deck, where it's a beautiful sunny day. Thank you so much for inviting us here.
Thank you so much for reaching out to me. This is great.
Melinda, among other things that she does, well, you tell them.
Well, I'm the orchestra director and string area head at Westminster College up in New Wilmington, Pennsylvania. I'm also the violin teacher, and I direct the Scottish Fiddle Ensemble. Mention the orchestra, do all the string pedagogy stuff. If it has strings, it comes across my desk.
I'm up here because I'm a folk musician, and I want to talk to you about Scottish fiddling. Most Americans don't understand that there's a difference between Scottish fiddling and Irish fiddling. I mean, they just all think of it as Celtic music.
I know. I can't count the number of times I've been asked, oh, so you play Irish fiddle? No, I don't. I'm a Scottish fiddler. But a lot of people get them confused. They are very similar sounding, and that's sort of where the idea of the Celtic fiddling has grown. But the way I like to look at it is that if you're into languages and if you speak Spanish, you can probably understand a fair amount of Italian. Okay. But you can recognize that they're different. If you don't speak Spanish or Italian and you hear them next to each other, they probably sound very, very similar. It's the same thing with Scottish and Irish fiddle playing. For those of us that do it, we hear the differences. For people who don't, it sounds just super similar. And they are. They're cousins and, you know, right across the water from each other. So it's not that surprising.
Over here in North America, both types of fiddling. Actually, there's more than one kind of Irish fiddling and there's more than one kind of Scottish fiddling. But but all that fiddling from the British Isles and even from Normandy, all that stuff came over here. How has it affected music here?
Well, it's interesting because over in the United States, at least from the Scottish perspective, we have this fierce desire to sound Scottish. And we get very, you know, concerned. Are we sounding Scottish enough? Whereas if you go over to Scotland, they're just playing the fiddle. They're having a good time. And they're not worried about sounding Scottish because they are. So we're very concerned about, you know, the tradition and sounding Scottish, where it's actually a very fluid tradition. It's very vibrant and still going and still evolving.
To me, that's one of the things that folk musicians are always interested in. It's like that combination of preserving the origins of the music, but then also setting the stage for innovation.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And in Scottish fiddling, we also have this culture of composition. So we learn all the traditional tunes, and then we learn sort of where the modern tunes are sounding. So we learn a tune that was written 20 years ago or 5 years ago or 1 year ago. And then once you hit a certain point, and it's pretty early on, the culture encourages you to write tunes. So the repertoire is ever expanding. And the trick when you're writing is, does it sound like it fits in the niche of Scottish while it's still being sort of innovative and sounding different and sounding new? So we're still pushing the boundaries. It's like a dog chasing something. If you've ever seen a dog chase something under a bush, the nose is under the bush. They're after the rabbit, but the back two legs are hanging out behind so they can make a quick getaway. It's the same idea. We're trying to make sure that we're in the Scottish style, but we're still pushing the boundaries a little bit. So our back legs are back in the tradition, but we're still trying to push it and make it sound new. It's so neat because the tunes that are at the core of our tradition, they've already lasted for hundreds of years. And I think there's really good reason for it. The music itself is fantastic. And even today, when we're dealing with these tunes, we keep them